We're going to start on Memvav Amabet, toward the bottom, about 10 lines from the bottom. We had just finished with this machloket between mal velo taval, taval velo mal. What if you do one and not the other? What if there's a good nafkamina for this, which is that after you do Brit Milah, you have to wait a week in order to tovel, okay, because of the healing process. We're going to see this inside today. So by nature, what happens? Every male convert, right, there's... they become a partial convert when they do the Brit Milah, but they're waiting for Tefillah. So they're at this in-between state. Now, there's an issue. Right, so it's a whole week. So what's the status of that year for the week in terms of what's the big nafkamina? You're supposed to be Mechalel Shabbat if you're, like a gear who's getting ready for preparation. A gear can't keep Shabbat. There's, an issue about that. So you have to do one thing, Mechalel to Shabbat. So what if you're at this in-between stage? If we say Mal Velo Taval, then is good, then you're a Jew. If we say you're not a Jew until you do the Tefillah, then you're not a Jew. So there's a, it's a question what you do. I mean, I think in general we paskin that you don't. You're not Mechalel Shabbat because you're already... Like some people explain it, that you're already a partial Jew in the sense that it's sort of like the Kiddushin and the Nisuin, right? That you're now at this in-between stage where you're not Mamasha ben Noach, but you're also not a Jew. So you don't have to be Mechalel Shabbat, but you also you don't have to keep it necessarily. You're not a full-fledged Jew, but you don't have to be Mechalel Shabbat in terms of that issue. Okay, the other thing, I could tell you a good story that happened, that came before my husband. There was a case where a guy was marrying a Moroccan woman, and it turned out he was a convert. He needed to convert l'chumra or something. He needed to do a gira l'chumra. Sometimes they make someone, and they didn't want the family to know that he was a convert because the Moroccans were going to be all crazy or something like that. I forget exactly what it was. In any case, he said he had a Brit Milah already, so they thought it was fine. In the end, he went to the Beit Din or something, and it turns out his Brit Milah wasn't good enough. And they found this out just before the wedding, and he had to do a Brit Milah and then do a Tefillah. And you can't do a Tefillah samuch to a Brit Milah. So in the end, there was this situation where they actually kind of faked the wedding. They didn't want anyone to know, and then they technically married them a week later after he did the Tefillah. And the rabbi under the chuppah kind of mumbled the brachot and pretended that it was a real wedding. And in the end, they really weren't married until a week later. It was a crazy story. So,
not to mention pretending you're married and just having had a brit has its own complications.
Right, that's also true.
I've seen britot faked, but that's really something.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting, a fake brit. Interesting.
There was a baby that had a... he needed surgery.
Yeah.
Because the whole of the penis, the exit of the urine, was on the side rather than on top.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want everybody to know that the baby had...
They didn't want them to know there was a problem,
issue,
so they pretended.
The breast,
wow.
That's
unpleasant. Okay. Tov. So now on to our... Okay, we're going to see a lot about gerim today, and hitachasut to gerim, and how this issue, if we try to discourage gerim, we're going to get to root. It's kind of an interesting daf. Amar Rabba, uvta have be Rabbi Chiya, bar Rabbi, Rav Yosef Ma'ane Rav Oshaya Bar Rebbe, Rav Safra Ma'ane Rav Oshaya Bar Rabbi Chiya. Okay, so Rabbi says there was a case that came before Rabbi Chiya Bar Rebbe. Rav Yosef says, and by the way, Rabbi Oshaya, the son of Rebbe, was also there. And then Rav Safra says, Rabbi Oshaya Bar Rabbi Chiya was also there. Okay, so in the end, according to Rav Safra anyway, there were three people there. We're going to see why this is important. De'ata l'kamei ger shamal v'lo taval. Okay, a ger that did the milah, didn't do the tefillah yet, comes before them. Amarle shai kan ad lemachar v'nitbolina. Wait till tomorrow. The assumption here is that it was nighttime, and they didn't want to do the tefillah at night. So they said, wait till tomorrow, and we'll tovel you. So they say, shma mina tlat. Shma mina, okay, this is a very typical structure. We tell a story, and then we say, we can derive three things from this story. Often it's three, because three is this number, a nice number of three. Not always, but often it's shma mina tlat. We learn from here that you have to do your giur in front of three, because otherwise, why would Rav Safra bother to tell us that there were three rabbis there, right? He specifically said, and there was another guy, right? And then the other guy said there was another guy, and then the Rav Safra says there were really three guys. Right? We learn from here they made him do the tefillah, so you see, you're not a ger until you do both. And we also learn that you don't tovel a ger at night. Okay? V'neima, so now the Gemara says, why don't we say, Shema mina, nami b'ina mumchim? these were like the big rabbis of the generation. So why don't we say, you can see from here that you need to have big, important rabbis at the Giyur. Right? It's not good enough for just any standard rabbi to be Megayer. Right? We all know there's differences between madrigot of rabbis and who's more important. So what do they say? No, you can't say that from here. Why? Dilma de'iklu. Maybe it just happened to be that he came before these three rabbis, but not necessarily he had to do the Giyur in front of these three rabbis. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ger Tzarich Shlosha. Now we're going to learn the source for this. Why do you need three rabbis? Mishpat K'tiv Bei, in one of the Pesukim about Ger, it says, okay, the word Mishpat in the Pesuk. Okay, we're going to see this right now. It doesn't come up right now. Mishpat K'tiv, because it says, Mishpat Achad Yeh Lachem V'Lager Hagar B'Tochachem, I think it's B'Tochachem, right? Lager Hagar, is it here? Right, lager hagar itchem. Sorry, right. Torah achat, mishpat achad yeh lachem, v'lager hagar itchem. Okay, and b'midbar tevav. And here you see that mishpat and ger in the same pasuk. So they learn from here. Obviously, that's not the context of the pasuk. The context is right that there's one law for you and for gerim.
Mishpat achad yeh lachem.
Right, you all have the same laws, the same system. It says here, Lager Hagar Yitchem. It doesn't say Ezra.
There's another one. That's the next one.
Oh, okay. That's the next one, but that's not this one. So now, what do they say? That because Mishpat appears in the same Pasuk, in order to become a Ger, you need a Beit Mishpat. Beit Mishpat is three, Dayanim. Okay, now we're going to say learn all sorts of different Joshua about Gerim. Mish Tana Rabbanan. Tanitic source. Mishabava Amar Ger Ani, Yachol Nikablenu. What if somebody says, I'm a convert? Do we trust him that he's a convert or not? Right? Do we trust him that he did a conversion halachically or do we not trust him? Talmud Lamar Itcha. Okay, here the Pasuk says, let me find this Pasuk here. Where is it? Right, it's Gimel. Okay. Right, okay. It's in Gimel here on the page. It's Vayikra Yutet Lama Gimel. The Pasuk is Bechi Yagur Itcha Ger Ba'artzechem. When there's a Ger living among you, okay, Itcha with you, Ba'artzechem in your land, Lo Tonu Oto, right? Don't take advantage of it. So now, they're going to darshan a whole bunch of things from this Pasuk. So what is Itcha? Itcha means bimuchzak lecha, meaning in a case where you have proof that he's a ger. Okay? It's not so clear how they get this from the word itcha, with you. Okay? But with you means it's known to you 100%. Okay? Which means that there has to be testimony that he actually converted, and we don't just trust someone who says, I'm a ger. Ba ve'edav imo, what if he comes with witnesses that testify for him? Okay? That he's a ger. Talmud lomar v'chi yagor itcha ger. So now they say, from here we learn, yagur itcha, again, it's not 100% clear, okay? But it means, mikol makom, Rashi says. Like, in any way, he's living among you. Meaning, as long as he has some sort of proof, that's great. Now, obviously, we're going to say, later on, the Gemara's, what's going to happen is, we have this long Braita, then the Braita is going to be darshan, like different parts of it. And one question they're going to obviously raise here is, why do you need a proof text from the Torah to say that if he brings witnesses to testify that he's a ger, that's good? What do you mean? Witnesses obviously are good. You don't need proof, right? Anything can be established with two witnesses. You don't need a special pasuk to say, if the guy brings two witnesses, then that means he's a ger. So it's a very strange pasuk, limut. We'll see soon in the Gemara what they do with it. Now, if you notice in that pasuk, it says be'artzechem, in your land. So ein li ela ba'aretz. This sounds like in Eretz Yisrael. Bechutz la'aretz minayin, Talmud lamar itcha bechol makom she'itcha. Okay, what does that mean? It means again itcha. We're going to darshan. Obviously, the Gemara is going to ask later. How can we darshan two things from this pasuk, from this word itcha? Right. Generally, we only learn one thing from a word. So the word itcha now. Before we said it means b'muchzak lecha. You have proof. Now we're going to say itcha means wherever you are. Okay. So now the obvious question: imke ma tamud lomar ba'aretz? Right. So why does it say ba'aretz achem? The pasuk seems to imply just Eretz Israel. Itcha comes to include anywhere in the world. So why did it say specifically Ba'aretz? So now they're going to say there's a distinction between converts in Israel and converts outside of Israel. And we actually saw a sugya about this before. Ba'aretz tzarich lahavi ra'aya. Bechutz laretz ein sarich lavi raya, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you convert in Israel, you have to bring proof that you're a convert. If you convert in chutz laretz, there's no need for a proof. Why? What's the assumption? That Israel's a great country and everybody wants to live in Israel and it's so great for the Jews there. And therefore, if they move to Israel, if they convert in Israel, obviously we're going to be suspect of them that they just want the beauty of, you know, the Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, we're going to see they talk about that it's the beauty of the land and that's why they're converting and not really for the right intentions. But if you decide to be a Jew in Chutz Laaretz, who would want to do that, right? Who in their right mind would want to do that? Obviously, you know, we can all raise a lot of questions to this. Is this true nowadays? Would this be relevant? Okay? But that's what they're saying here. That's the assumption there. Which is also, right, in the time of the Tanaim, it also could have been true. By the time of the Amoraim already, it wasn't so great in Eretz Israel. So it's also interesting to see how this might have changed. The Chachamim omrim, bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutzal ha'aretz, tzarich lahavi ra'aya. Okay, so Chachamim say, no matter what, you always have to bring a proof, in which case we're going to, again, raise a question to them, what do they do with Bar Tzachem then? What does Bar Tzachem come to teach us, if not that there's some difference between them? He thinks there's no difference, no matter what. Okay, that's the end of the Braita. So now we're going to go back through different sections of the Braita in question. Bahu ve'edavimo, kra lamali. What do we need a pasuk for? Obviously, if you bring edim, it's good. Amar of sheshe, da'amre, shamanu shenitgayer bebeitin shaploni. Salkadat hachamina lo lehem naihu, ka mashmalan. Okay, there's different types of edut. We've discussed this before. Edut generally can only be if you saw what happened. You have to actually see what happened. You can't use hearsay, right? So we call it hearsay. Oh, I heard that this happened. That's not admissible in court, not in any court, not, and certainly not in a beit din. Now, what does Rav Sheshet say? In this case, the chiddush is from the pasuk that if there's someone who's living among you who appears to be a Jew, and then Adim come and say, we heard that he was converted in so-and-so court, we believe those witnesses, because really they're just verifying what we know already to be the case, that this guy's Jewish. Okay? So if for this kind of situation of a ger who's living among you, who acts like a Jew and behaves as if he's part of the Jewish community, and then we have hearsay evidence about him that I heard that he was converted and it's so-and-so Beit Din, you might have thought we wouldn't believe them, because generally that kind of testimony is not admissible. Comes to teach you, the pasuk comes to teach you, we believe it. This is like, what case did we see? Where someone says, we had this recently, where we say it's Beirur Milta Ba'alma. He's just clarifying that the brother of the Yabam, that he's the brother, I think was the case, right? That we said, you don't, right? It needs some sort of proof, but it doesn't need real proof that he's the brother, because it's Devar Yadua, right? And it's, they say also, Milta Di Atid Lihitkalot. You know, at some point in the future, we'll find out the facts. It's just more like facts on the ground, and therefore, you don't need real testimony. Ba'aretz, Ein Li Ela Ba'aretz. B'chutz La'aretz Minayin. Now we're quoting that pasuk, right? That line in the Braita. So again, what do we say? B'chutz La'aretz Minayin. Talmud Lomar Itcha. B'kol Makom She'itcha. That was just the quote. So now they're going to say, V'ha'afikte Chada. V'ha'afikte. Didn't we already use Itcha? We said Itcha is B'muchzak Lecha. Right? And then now we're saying itcha is that afilu b'chutz laaretz, right? Okay. What does it mean? By the way, I didn't even discuss this. The assumption of this drasha is that you might have thought that you can only convert in Israel, that you can't become a convert in chutz laaretz, right? Which is also an interesting assumption. Like, where would you even think about? Like, what would you think about? Maybe because the real Jewish people is in Israel, so like to become part of our nation, you have to be in Israel, which is interesting because not everybody's in Israel, right? Sometimes also there's higher standards for converts than for regular people, right? In other words, the whole concept that he has to be mekabel all the mitzvot, not all Jews keep all the mitzvot. So anyway, we'll get to that later about a convert who doesn't keep all the mitzvot. Okay, so now what do they say? Chade me'itcha v'chade me'imcha. Okay, there's another pasuk. Okay, that pasuk. Second, I forgot to have that pasuk accessible. That pasuk, I think it's not on the page here on the side, but me'imcha is the pasuk in Vayikra Kaf Hei Lamed Hei. It says ger v'toshav v'chai imach. Okay, so here you see he's living with you again, imach, wherever you're living. So itcha comes to teach you b'muchzak lecha, and imach comes to teach you wherever he's living with you. It could be anywhere in the world; it doesn't only have to be in Israel. The Chachamim omrim, now we're going to go to Chachamim and ask our question on them. Bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz, tzarich la'vi ra'aya. Ve'ela haktiv ba'aretz, but it says ba'aretz. So what do Chachamim do with the uniqueness of ha'aretz? Why is it specified in the pasuk? Hahu me'ba'ele da'afilu ba'aretz mekablim gerim. Okay, desal kadat hachamina mishum tivuta de'aretz Yisrael kamagayre. Oh, sorry, one second. I think I jumped ahead. Sorry, I confused that. Okay, it's the opposite. It's the brighter when it talked about the uniqueness of the aretz was the dafke ba'aretz. You need a proof. Now I jumped ahead. Okay, I messed up. Ba'aretz. First we said ba'aretz according to Rabbi Yehuda means that you only need a proof in Eretz Yisrael, right? That specifically in Eretz Yisrael you need proof, and you don't need proof outside because who else would want to convert in ba'aretz? Now they're going to take it and they're going to say, the Chachamim are going to say, no, you don't need proof, but you might have thought that in Eretz Yisrael, it's the opposite of what I said before, that you don't accept Gerim in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Why? Because Gerim and Eretz Yisrael are suspect that they have ulterior motives. Okay? So that's what, Shalkadat Chachamim Mishum Tivuta de Eretz Yisrael Kamagayre. Vahashtana, okay, so you might have thought that they were doing it because of all the plentifulness there is in Eretz Yisrael. Now the Gemara is going to say, Vahashta, and nowadays that it's not so great in Eretz Yisrael, right? Nami deleka tivuta, while it's true that it's not so great anymore, because things aren't so good there, but adayin, there's still something beneficial about living in Eretz Yisrael. Ika leket shecha upea umaser sheni. What is there? There's financial benefits. If you're poor and you live in Israel, you get taken care of by the country, right? The people take care of you. They give you all sorts of presents. So therefore, right, there's a good system for impoverished people. So you might have thought that maybe those are his ulterior motives, not because life is so great there, but at least you'll get taken care of by welfare. Kamash malan, that even so, we accept them in Eretz Yisrael, and that ba'artzachem is to teach you that even ba'artzachem, okay? So whereas Rabbi Yehuda took it for the proof issue, right, that you need proof, Chachamim take it for the fact that you can actually convert, right? Can you even convert was the question. And yes, you can convert in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the pasuk's coming to stress. Am Rav Chiya bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Halacha, bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz, tzarich lahavi ra'aya. Okay, so now he goes back and he says, just like Chachamim said, bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz, you have to bring proof. So now they're going to say again, shita, this we had yesterday. Obviously, Yachid Rabim, Halacha Karabim, when Chachamim say something, you don't need to tell us the Halacha is like Chachamim, because the default is always that we're going to pass on like Chachamim over a Da'at Yachid. So when we had this yesterday, we answered it by saying, the Chachamim really wasn't Chachamim, it was a Da'at Yachid. Here we're going to have a different reason. We're going to say the Chachamim really is Rabim, but Ma'u Detema Mistaber Tama De Rabbi Yehuda, De Kamisayeh Alei Cry, Ka Mashmalan. Rabbi Yehuda brings a proof from the Pasuk. It's Rabbi Yehuda, the fact that you have to bring a raya comes from the word ba'artzachem. So we might have thought that he has better proof in the text than Chachamim. And therefore, even though he's a yachiv versus the rabbim, maybe we'd have sided with him because he has better proof from the Torah. And therefore, kamashman, that's why he had to teach us the halachas like Chachamim. Okay, now we're going to have another braita. Tana Rabbanan. Ushfatetem tzedek ben ishu ben achiv uben gero. Mikan amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ger shenitgayer bebeitin hareze ger. Beino leven atzmo eino ger. Okay, this is a big thing, right? We all know it. We take it as a given that to convert you have to go before a beitin. But in the Braita, they're raising it as a question. Is it so obvious you have to go before a beitin, right? Generally, we don't go before a beitin to do all sorts of things. So where do you know that a ger can't just convert on his own? Just say, okay, I accept Kabbalat O mitzvot, I'm going to dunk in a mikvah, and finished, right? He can't do that by himself. Why not? Because the pasuk says, okay, this is a pasuk from Devarim Perak Aleph. This is when it talks all about Moshe setting up the shoftim. You know, when he tells the story that happened back in Yitro in the beginning of Devarim. And so the pasuk starts, Vatzaveh shoftechem be'et ha'hi le'mor. Shamo ben achechem u'shvatitem tzedek ben ishu ben achivu ben gero. Again, the context isn't to make him a convert. The context is judging the convert, which is very similar to the other pasuk we saw about, it's the same pasuk we saw before. About Bein Achiv, right? Bein Achiv uBein Gero Mishpat. No, the Mishpat, sorry. The Mishpat Pasuk was a different Pasuk, right? There was a different one where it says, Ger Tzarich Mishpat. Oh, that was a different Pasuk. That was Mishpat Achad Yelachem VeLager Hagar Yitchem. Okay? So that was a different Pasuk. But this Pasuk basically says, the judges have to rule on a ger. So what do they say? Ah, that means the judges have to rule that he is a ger. Not about a ger's issues, but that he is a ger. The judges have to rule, meaning he needs a beit din. So now they're going to bring a story. Okay, I converted on my own. Now this is a case of a person who was living among the Jewish people. Nobody knew, right? This happens all the time. I don't know if you're aware of this, right? There's people you don't know walking around that are converts. You have no idea. They converted many years ago. People would have no way of knowing. So this was a Jew living among the community. And he says, by the way, when I was, you know, a long time ago, I converted on my own. Okay? Amar le Rabbi Yehuda, yesh lecha edim? Do you have witnesses that you converted? Amar le lav. Yesh lecha banim? Amar le hen. Now we're going to have a really interesting psak here. Amar le, ne'eman ata lifsol et atzmecha, vi'i ata ne'eman lifsol et banecha. What happens now? Okay? He had kids. What's the status of his kids? Depends who you paskin like, right? But his kids either, right? I'm assuming he was married to a Jewish woman. So his kids are Jewish. However, what did we learn? A Jew who marries a non-Jew. If he becomes a non-Jew, what happens to his kids? Either they're mamzerim, or they're pasula kuna, or maybe they're nothing. But according to most opinions, they seem to be at least pasula kuna. So now the question is, when he says, I'm a Jew, what do we call this? This is called shavya anaf shachaticha di yisura. He has created, he has put himself into a, he's, we have no proof that he's a ger, right? We have no proof of that. All we have is that he's mukhzak to be Jewish. So as far as we're concerned, he's Jewish. He's living among us. We have no reason to think otherwise. Now, based solely on his own testimony, he's created an isser for himself, right? He's basically caused himself to be called now a non-Jew because he said, listen, I converted on my own, we're now saying is not a good conversion. So that's called shavya. He's mashveh, like he makes himself anafshe to himself, chatichat isur. He turns himself into a chatichat isur, okay? So you can do that. You can, by your testimony, it's like a woman saying, I was married, okay? Nobody knew she was married, right? She's now, let's say, wants to get married to someone else. We never knew that she was married in the first place. And she says, by the way, 20 years ago, I was married to some guy. That, she, right? That's calling, basically, she has created a matzav of isur for herself, that she's now an eshet ish. So the same thing here. So you can do that. But what do they say? But you can't do that to your kids. It's okay to do to yourself, but you can't do it for your kids. It reminds us somewhat of the Plagina Dibure, right? When he's ne'eman to say, I did something bad, but he's not ne'eman to say, I did it to somebody else, and now they're messed up. Right? It's the same kind of thing. So now we're going to question this assumption that he's eno ne'eman lipsol panecha. Umi amar Rabbi Yehuda abanim lo meheman? Rabbi Yehuda is the one who said this. But Rabbi Yehuda himself, he really doesn't think that you can be trusted to apostle your children. V'hatanya, in a different situation, it says, Yakir, Yakirenu la'achirim. Okay, what does this mean? There's a pasuk that talks about, if you're familiar with this, there's a case where they talk about there's a man who was married to a woman, he has two wives, and one he doesn't like, and the other one he does like, and the bechor comes from the mother that he doesn't like. Okay, it's very much like the Yaakov story. So here's the pasuk in Dvarim Kaf Aleph. If you have it on the side, it's Ot Bet. Ki et bechor ben hasnua, Yakir late lo pishnayim b'chol asher yimtzalo, hihu roshit eno lo mishpata b'chora. You can't override the rules of inheritance. Who gets pishnayim? The ben hasnua. You can't say, I want the ben ahuva to get it, if really the ben hasnua is the b'chor. So there's an interesting word in this pasuk, which they're going to darshan. At b'chor ben hasnua, yakir. He will recognize to give him the pishnayim. What does it mean he will recognize? What does that mean? So the Gemara, the Brayta darshins, Yakir, Yakirenu la'achirim. In other words, he will be the one to testify to say, this one is the Bechor. Mikan Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ne'eman Odam Lomar, Ze B'ni Bechor. In other words, we trust the father. This is the same kind of thing we said about, we trust the Ger to bring these Edim. We said, we heard he was a Ger. We trust the father to say, this is the Bechor in my family. U'kashem Shenem Ne'eman Lomar, Ze B'ni Bechor. Kach ne'eman lomar b'ni zeh ben gushah ben chalutzahu. Now this is a big jump, okay? But the jump is important. He says, just like his ne'eman say zeh b'ni b'chor, he can also say, this is my son who was born from a union between me and a grusha, right? Assuming he was a kohen. Or me and a chalutzah, which means what? That we trust him to passel his children. right? And the kiuna, which might be exactly the comparison to our case, right? Because in our case, he's saying, I'm a non-Jew, which means I had a child with a Jewish woman, which means our kids are pasul kiuna. So if he can say...
Because the first case, it falls to the benefit of the child if he gets the yosha. But in the second case,
You're right. Although it's to the detriment of the other children. Right? In other words, it's true that it's to the benefit of one child, but it's to the detriment of the other. But yeah, it's a big question of how you make this jump from saying Zebani before to Zeb ben Grusha or ben Chalutza. Okay? V'chachamim omrim eino ne'eman. Chachamim say no, we can't trust him to say Bini Zeb ben Grusha or ben Chalutza. Okay? So now, what do you see here? The Rabbi Yehuda himself says you can pass on your kids. So why do we accept his testimony in this case of the Ben Grusha and Ben Chalutza, but we don't accept his testimony in the case of I'm really not a good convert. So Am Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Hachi Kamar Le, Lidivrecha. So now we're going to have two different answers. Why this case doesn't work in our case of the ger. Once he says I'm really a ger that wasn't nitgayer properly, okay, and I'm really an Oved Kochavim, what happens? Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, Hachi Kamar Le, Lidivrecha Oved Kochavim Ata. As soon as you say, I wasn't mitzgayer properly, what happens? Yeah. You're now in Ovei Kochavim. Uh-huh. Once you're in Ovei Kochavim, ve'ein edu lo Ovei Kochavim, and we don't trust testimony from non-Jews. So therefore, we trust you that you're a non-Jew, but we don't trust you, what you're saying about your kids. Now, this is a bit of a strange answer. Why? Because really, by accepting his testimony, it's not like we're accepting his testimony. It's much like we said before, the Pagina Dibure, right? That we trust him, that he raped someone, right? That he... There was where he had homosexual relations with someone. We trust the testimony for you, but not for someone else. It's very similar to that. But here what they're saying is, as soon as you say it, we only trust what you said about yourself. We don't trust what you said, you know, past there, you're not trusted. But it's strange because it's not like he's saying something continuing, right? In other words, we accept what he says. So once we accept what he says, it should apply to all the ramifications of it. So it's a little bit of a strange answer. But they do seem to imply that this is a good answer, that basically we say, now you're no longer trusted, you're an Ovei Kochavim. I think really what they're trying to do is come up with ways to protect the children, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, Ravina Amar, Hachika Amar Le. This is the second answer. Yesh lecha banim, hein. Yesh lecha b'nei banim, hein. Amar Le, ne'eman ata lefso banecha, v'i ata ne'eman lefso b'nei banecha. Now what do we see? You can be trusted to pastor your children, just like Rabbi Yehuda said in the case of Yakir. But what can't we trust you to do? To pastor your grandchildren. In other words, we don't go that far. And that's what he really meant. So what they do, in this case, they have to change the words of that braita. That really, it didn't mean just yesh lecha banim. It meant, is that someone at the door? Or yesh lecha b'nei banim. Okay? So now they're going to bring a proof to Ravina. But again, they're going to paskin like the first opinion. Okay. Tanya nami hachi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ne'eman adam lomar obeno katan, ve'ein ne'eman obeno gadol. So a person is trusted about his young child, but he's not trusted about his older child. Ve'amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo katan katan mamash, ve'lo gadol gadol mamash, ela katan ve'yesh lo banim zehu gadol, gadol ve'ein lo banim zehu katan. So we have this braita that says a person's trusted about his young child, but not about his older child. So now, there's an explanation of this braita. This doesn't mean what you think it means. A katan doesn't mean a katan. A gadol doesn't mean a gadol. A katan means, a katan is someone who doesn't have children. And gadol is someone who does have children. So now, what does this mean, basically? Let's go back. You're ne'eman on someone who doesn't have children. You can pasul your son, right? But you're not ne'eman on someone that has, if you have grandchildren. Okay, meaning you're ne'eman on your children, but not on your grandchildren. So, but in the end, even though Ravina has a proof text, the hilchata kavatei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the halacha goes like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Okay, now this is a little strange, because we have a proof text from a braita, so why wouldn't we trust the braita? So in the end, they say, well, the braita isn't talking about our case. When he says, ne'eman adam lomar b'no gadol v'b'no katan, he's talking about for the Yerusha purposes, from the Yakir pasuk. And you can't necessarily learn from there to our case, because our case is talking about something different. So therefore, you could sort of say that. So in the end, they pass on like Rav Nachman, which is basically that once he's in Ovei Kochavim, We then can't trust him to say anything about his children, and therefore you end up with this weird situation where he becomes not Jewish, but his children are as if they were born from a Jewish union. Okay? So the Gemara says, Vahatanya Kavateja Ravina. Sorry, I forgot the Gemara says, so I thought it was the Mepharshim. Vahatanya Kavateja Ravina doesn't have a Braita like Ravina, so how could you pass on like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak? So they say, Hahulinyan Yakir Itmar. That was said about the halacha of Yakir and not about our halacha, right? The halacha of the Ben Snu'an, the Ben Aluva, and about Yerusha, and not having to do with our case. Okay. Itmar. Now we're going to get into these interesting sugyot about what we do when someone comes to Litgayer. How do we treat him? Tana Rabbanan, Ger Shabbat Litkayer Bazman Azeh, Omrim Lo, Mara Yita Shabbat Litkayer. Yeta Yodesh, Yisrael Bazman Azeh, Divuyim, Dechufim, Sechufim, Umeturafim, Yisurim Ba'in Eleim. Don't you see, life is rough for the Jews, and they're not in a pleasant situation, they're suffering. Im Omer Yodeani, Ve'eni Kedai, Mekablim Otomiyad. Okay, if they say, I don't care, and I'm not even worthy, I'm not even good as all the other Jews, like I'm not even, right, I'm not worthy for anything, they accept him. Umodi'ino to, miktzat mitzvot kalot, umitzvat mitzvot chamorot. So now though, even though it says, mekablino to miyad, they start to explain to him a little bit about what Judaism is all about, okay, just so you should know. They start to explain to him, mitzvot kalot, mitzvot chamorot. They tell him, okay, we're going to talk later about why this is such an important one that they should tell them. Okay, so they tell him, you have to, you know, if you own a field, you're going to have to leave all these parts for the poor people. What the punishments are if you don't do the mitzvot. Right? Do you know that until now, if you wanted to eat chaylev, nothing would happen to you? If you were going to mechalel Shabbat, nothing would happen to you. V'achshav, achalta chaylev, anush kareit, chilata Shabbat, anush skila. Okay, but if you do these things now, right, in one moment, you're going to switch to doing these things, and you're going to be chayev mavet. U'kishem sh'modi'in oto anshan shal mitzvot, kach modi'in oto matan tcharan. Okay, they also tell him what the sachar is. Omrim lo, heve yodea sh'olam haba enu asoy ele l'tzadikim. Yisrael bazman hazeh einam yicholim lekabel lo rov tova velo rov poranut. Okay, so now it's an interesting one. This basically, he's saying that the real sachar goes to the tzaddikim, like the real tzaddikim. In other words, doing mitzvot as a regular person, but you're not going to really get the real reward because these days there's no rov tova and there's no rov poranut. In other words, everything's kind of in the middle. Nobody gets all the shefa, all the tova, okay? Because Rashi says it's because the Yetzer Hara mechazer achareihem, and the Jews are doing a lot of chataim, and also not rov poranut, because I guess they're not terrible. They don't get, right, nothing to the extreme. Okay, so that's what you tell him. Then it says, ve'ein marbin alav, ve'ein medaktikin alav. Then you don't say too many things. You don't give him too many dikduke mitzvot, and you don't try to discourage him too much. Okay, kibel malino tomiyad. If he accepts, he says, you know, I'm okay, I'm in. They give him brit milah immediately. We're going to have all sorts of questions on this bright after. Nishtayrubo tzitzin ha-ma'akvin et ha-milah. If they did, right, he had a milah, let's say, or they did the milah now, and then they didn't do a good enough job, there were still some pieces there. Chozrin u-malino toshniyah. Okay, so then they do it again. Nitrape, once he gets cured, this is where I told you we started in the beginning today, that you need a weeks-long ripoy process. Matbilino tomiyad. Okay, you can't put him in the mikvah till he's fully cured from the brit milah. And then, as soon as he's cured, you put him in the mikvah right away. We keep seeing this miyad appear. Okay, we'll talk about this soon. Ushnei tamidei chachamim omdim al gabav. Okay, while he's chovelling, here's the famous halacha recently we've seen a lot. That two tamidei chachamim omdim al gabav, we're going to see later, what do you mean, isn't it three? They're going to change it. They're going to say, really, it means three. Umodi'ino to miktzat mitzvot kalon umiktzat mitzvot chamurot. Okay, and they tell him while he's chovelling, they tell him, you know, some mitzvot, just so that he knows. Like he has the kabbalat al mitzvot while he's dunking. Right, this is the source that you need someone in the mikvah to be telling you, you have to have kabbalat mitzvot while you're in the mikvah. Okay, although we're going to see about the woman later. Okay, so hold off on the woman. Here we're only talking about a man.
This is the second case, because the first case is if he says, lo kedani, and then they just...
No, so any kedai doesn't mean I don't want to do it. Any kedai means I'm not worthy, meaning...
Right, no, but it's yes. Because then they say, if he says any kedai, then you immediately tell him... And
no,
then
ain't
here,
right.
He responds differently. He just says, okay, I accept, and then they do the Milan.
So that's after he went through the first process. In other words, first he goes through, right, it's
okay.
The second stage. First he goes through a whole process where they ask him all these questions and they say, are you sure you really want to be a part of this? And all the stuff, they try to scare him. If he still wants to go, then they leave him at that point. They don't bother him too many times. It's not like when you ask someone for slicha, you know, you have to ask three times, right? It's not like that. Here they ask the convert once. They push him and they say, are you sure, you sure, you sure? Then, okay, they give him the Brit Milah, and then while they're tobeling, they just remind him of the mitzvot so that there's like a Kabbalat Ol mitzvot happening at the time. But they're not trying to scare him at this point. They're just kind of trying to have an acceptance of mitzvot so that it's clear his tefillah is kedei likanes. Okay, in order to be a Jew. Tavar v'alah, hareyu ki Yisrael l'chol dvarav. Now he's a full-fledged Jew. We're going to see what does that mean. Okay, this is like, it's the exact same phraseology as we saw by the Yibum. Do you remember? Once you do Yibum, harehi kishto l'chol davar, right? Which we talked about. That means if he wants to be machzir grushato, we don't say, oh, pitom eshet ach came back and you can't marry her. Right now, it's a whole new reality. Just like with the Yibum, it's a new reality. Now he has a marriage with her, is independent of his brother. Right? So here also, now you have a relationship. You're a Jew. Independently, your past is like disappeared. Isha, now we get to the woman. Nashim moshivot otah b'mayim ad tzavara. Very interesting. Women bring her to the mikveh, not men. Okay? This is what it says on the source here. Ushnei tamidei chachamim omdim la mi b'chutz. And they stand outside. Okay? But while they're outside and while she's dunking, modi'in otah miktzat mitzvot kalot umitzvat mitzvot chamurot. Okay? So this is against what the general practice is. Obviously, there's other sources. But that the Talmidei Chachamim actually stand outside, but they are there, they're speaking to her, but through a different room, basically, it sounds like from here. Okay. Echad ger, ve'echad eved meshuchrar. Okay, this is a continuation of this Braita. Okay, so we still haven't gotten to all the details we want to get to. We're going to get to them soon. You know, all the questions on the Braita. So a ger, in eved meshuchrar, what do we learn about an eved meshuchrar? Okay, remember, in Eved, he tovels, when he becomes your Eved Knani, he tovels l'shem avdut. Remember, that was our whole sugya. What if he tovels l'shem ben chorin? Right, ben chorin. So he tovels l'shem avdut, he becomes a partial Jew. He lives in your house, he gets a brit milah also. He then keeps mitzvot like women. He's patur from all mitzvot aseh shazman grama. And then, when you free him, he tovels and he becomes a full-fledged Jew. So then he has a tefillah to become a Jew. So now they're comparing the tefillah of the ger and the tefillah of the eved meshuchrar. U'bimkom shenida tovelet sham ger ve'eved meshuchrar tovlim. The same halachot that apply to tefillah and the same type of mikvah that you need for a nida, that's the same mikvah that you use for a ger and an eved meshuchrar. V'chol davar shechotzeitz b'tefillah, chotzeitz b'ger u'be'eved meshuchrar u'benida. Okay, just like you have a chatzitza in tvila for tuma and tara purposes, you also have for ger, eved, meshuchrar, and nida, it's all the same halachot of chatzitza. Amar mar. Okay, now we're going back to the braita. That's the end of the braita. Ger sheba, amar mar is always a phrase that's used to say, we're going back to something we said before. Ger sheba letgeir umrimlo, mara ita shabato letgeir, modi'ino to mitzvot kalot, biksa mitzvot kalot, mitzvot mitzvot chamuro. Mai taima, di parish nifrosh. So if he decides he doesn't want to do this, he'll decide now and he won't do it, right? You give him a chance, okay? Da'ama Rabbi Chelbo, now here we see, this is the source that we try to discourage gerim. We don't really want gerim. Kashim gerim li Yisrael kesapachat. Okay, what's sapachat? It's one of the nigaim, okay? So the gerim are tough for Yisrael like a sapachat. Dichtiv v'nilva ha-ger alehem v'nisbechu al-beit Yaakov. This is crazy. His drasha is taking a pasuk in Yeshayahu, which talks about a very positive thing, that the ger is going to join you. And what is nisbechu? Like a nispach, an annex, right? They'll be annexed to you. They'll be part of your nation, right? He takes that and he says, what's the root of the word nispach? It's like sapachat. It's a negative word. It's not a positive thing. It's a negative thing. Takes this totally out of context. And he said, gerim are negative to the Jewish people. Now, this I thought was very interesting. There's all different reasons as to why gerim are negative to the Jewish people, okay? And therefore, why we try to discourage them. So there's different opinions, and they each have different, okay? I'll give you a few of them. So one is that gerim they have big gaps in their education, right? Because they didn't grow up Jewish. They didn't grow up with an example. And because of that, what happens? They end up doing things wrong. And if they do things wrong, they're going to be machshil other Jews. So here, it's not necessarily something inherently bad about gerim, but it's something inherently dangerous about geirim, that they could possibly be machshil others. That's one thing. Another thing is that geirim might, first of all, some people say that this yachas is only, this whole negative attitude is only about geirim who are convert for the wrong reasons. As the geirim often convert for the wrong reasons, and that's why we want to discourage them, because we want to make sure that they're not converting for the wrong reasons. But if they convert for the right reasons, then obviously there's something dangerous about them. That's another opinion, okay, which sort of minimizes this, right? It says that this approach is really not a broad approach. It's only to those geirim that are doing it for the wrong reasons. Then we have a totally opposite approach, which is not that there's something bad about geirim, right? Either the geirim themselves don't come with the right intentions, or they might have the right intentions, but they have big gaps in their education. Now there's a separate problem. Geirim sometimes are makpid more than Jews. And therefore, what does it do? It makes us look bad. The regular Jews, right, aren't as good as converts. And that's a big embarrassment. That's one. Other one is that people often make fun of geirim. They treat them differently. And because people are going to end up treating them differently, people are going to get punished for that. Okay, it's not just that they're right that they're doing better than us, but it's that we can't tolerate people who are different. We're not so good at that, and therefore we're going to get chataim because of geirim in our midst. Okay, interesting opinions. All right, a very wide spectrum of different opinions about where to go with this. Partially because this whole thing is complicated, right? To say that geirim, right, on the one hand, the Torah tells us over and over again, be sensitive to the geir, be nice to the geir, and here it talks about, you know, we don't really want geirim, they're not good for the Jews.
But not everyone says this, just this Rav.
Yeah, it's true. Just this Rav said this. Yes, it's true. Not everybody said it, and it's definitely, like we've seen in many cases, it's one person's opinion. It doesn't mean it's supposed to be a broadly accepted opinion. But he brings this to explain why we're trying to discourage the geir from becoming a Jew. Okay. Umodiino to avon leket shecha upeo maser sheni. My time, why this? Amar b'chia bar'aba, amar b'yochanan, ben noach neherag al pachot mishvei pruta, v'lo nitan leheshavon. If a ben noach steals, number one, if we steal something, we're only chayav if we steal something that's worth something. Okay, it has to be a sheva pruta. Sheva pruta, I don't remember exactly what a pruta is. It has to be some worth something, as opposed to something that's worth almost nothing. However, a ben noach, because they take every little penny seriously, okay, every little agua, so they're chayav, even if they steal something, pachot mishava pruta, because if you steal something so little from someone else, they're going to be very angry at you, because non-Jews take these things very seriously, any little amount of anything, and therefore, you're neharag if you steal pachot mishava pruta. Ve'lo nitan leshavon, and also the whole mitzvah that you're allowed to return the stolen item and kind of make up for the fact that you stole it. That doesn't apply to a ben noach. What's the relevance of this? The relevance is they're so makpid on every little cent that because of that, what are we going to say? That when the geir wants to join you, just tell him that leket shecham pea to us are not big deals. So you leave a portion of your field, right? How much of a big deal is that? But to a non-Jew who takes every little cent seriously, that might be considered a lot to him. So therefore, tell him that you should just know not all your money is going to be yours. You're going to have to give it up. Ve'eim marbin alav, ve'eim edaktekin alav. Okay, this is, we're going to hear something that you probably heard before, although I don't know. It's a drasha on the psukim in Rut. Amar Rabbi Elazar, my kra'a, where do we learn this from? That you don't bother him too much, right? If you already try to discourage him and he says, b'chol ofen, I want to be a Jew, so you let him be a Jew. My kra'a, dichtiv, v'tere kimet ametet hi lalechet ita, v'techta lidaber eleha. After Ruth, right, says, remember she says, Bashir Talini Alim, Bashir Talini, right? That whole nice long pasuk, we're going to darshan all of it right now. After she says that, so it says that Nomi saw, Kimita Mesati Lalechadita, she really wanted to. So what'd she say? What'd she do? Fatechdala Deberila, she stopped trying to discourage her. So now, what were the things that went on in this conversation? Now, this is very common to the Midrash. They take a pasuk, right? Bashir Telechi Elech, Bashir Talini Alin. Right, Amech Ami Velohayech Elohai, Basher Tamuti Yamut Vesham Ekaber. Okay, so now they're going to darshan each of those things to say that Nomi said in our halacha this is what we do, and Ruth said I'm going to do that also. Okay, so what are the things she told her? Right, again, you can take this and go in so many directions and think about why are Dafka these the things that she talked about? Right, some of them seem strange things to Dafka be bringing up to a convert, not necessarily the most important things. Some of them maybe more so. So what happened? Amra la, this is what Nomi said to her. Asir lan tchum Shabbat. You can't walk wherever you want. On Shabbat, you're bounded by the Tchum Shabbat. So what did she say? Basher telech yelech. Wherever you walk, I'll walk. If you don't walk outside Tchum, I won't walk outside Tchum. Asir lan yichud. You can't be alone with a man. Basher talin yalin. Right? A man you're not allowed to be with. So what does she say? The way you sleep, I'll sleep. Right? I'll take care of my right. Although Naomi does tell her to go, right? So also, right, yichud is a problem really, right? She was trying to get married. You could sort of see it in that light, although yes, it's a difficult parsha how she does it. Mafkidina shesh meot v'shloshesre mitzvot. Okay, we have 613 mitzvot to keep. Amechami, I'm with you, I'll keep whatever your nation keeps. Asir lan avodah kochavim. We can't worship avodah zara. Elohai ech Elohai. Arba mitot beitin yimsiru lebeitin. Basher tamuti amut. Okay, it's a dangerous religion. We have, you know, capital punishment. No problem. I'm willing to die. Shnei kfarim nimsiru lebeitin. Now we go back to that weird thing we saw before, that there were different batei kfarot for different... People got buried in different places depending on their level of punishment. So what does she say? V'sham ekaver. I have no problem. I'll be buried wherever I belong to be buried. Miyad v'terekim itametet hi, right? V'techta l'gaberela. And she stops. Okay, so she basically went through all the mitzvot. They want to show, right, that she had a ma'amad of, they asked her, the, you know, are you sure you want to keep all the mitzvot? And she did. Okay. Kibel malino tomiyad. Which is interesting, by the way, that you can look at this in two directions. Number one, they're saying, if this really was the truth, right, which we generally don't assume Midrash Tumah to be the truth, the fact that this really happened is probably unlikely, but on the one hand, they're saying, just like they did with Yitziat Mitzrayim, they wanted to learn the halachot of Gerim from Yitziat Mitzrayim, so now they want to learn the halachot of Gerim from Ruth. They're saying, we learn it from here, that Ruth was told all the mitzvot, and then what happened, and then b'chol ofen she wanted to do it, so Naomi, stop talking, you know, stop bothering her about it. From here, we can learn halacha to us. But also, they're kind of rewriting history, right? They're saying, based on our laws of what we know a ger has to do, we're going to say that Ruth did that also, right? So you can sort of do it in both directions. Obviously, then it becomes cyclical, right? Did it really happen? Or, right, the assumption is this didn't really happen, but yet you can find a smach in the pasuk for these kind of things. So, you know, therefore they say it happened. Just like, did they really tovel in when they came out of Mitzrayim, right? Where were they toveling, right? They're in a desert. Right, where were they toveling, and did they really tovel? It's a good question. Okay. Kibel malino tomiyad. So why did they do it immediately? Because shihuye mitzvah lo mashinan. Okay, you don't push off doing a mitzvah. Nishtayrubo tzitzina ma'agvina tamila kiditnan. Now we're going to have a drasha that we're not going to really go into too much about what are the tzitzina ma'akvin, a Mishnah that says, Elohim tzitzina ma'akvin tamila. It's either basar ha'chofet rov atara. Okay, it's covering most of the atara, of the penis. Ve'eno ochel b'truma. Okay, if you don't have a brit milah, a proper one, then you can't eat truma if you're a kohen. V'amar b'yirmiyah b'ar v'amarah basar chofed rov gov hashal atara. Okay, it has to cut. It's if it's covering most of the gova of the atara. Nitrapei matbilino tomiyad. What do you learn from here? Nitrapei in lo nitrapei lo. Okay, if you weren't cured, then you can't go in the mitzvah. My taima mishum demaya marzu makah. The water is going to bother the makah. Okay, it's going to affect it, and therefore we don't want that to happen, so we don't have you do it. Okay, last line, and then we'll finish for today. Ushnei tamidei chachamim omdim al gabav, v'ha'amar b'chi amar b'yochanan, ger tzarich shlosha. So, ha'amar b'yochanan, litana t'nei shlosha. Okay, he says it really should say shlosha. It really doesn't mean shtayim. It really should say shlosha. Okay, let's just do one more thing, and then we'll finish. Taval v'ala hareyu kisrael l'chol dvarav. What does it mean, hareyu kisrael l'chol dvarav? L'may hilchata, this is a very important halacha. What if, okay, and this happens very often, the ger has kabbalat ol mitzvot at the time of the ger, at the time of the giyur. But then, could be 5 minutes later, could be 20 minutes later, it could be 5 years later, he decides, not really for me, I don't really want to keep mitzvot. So now, what is he? Do we cancel the giyur? Right, this happened. The rabbi said, oh, these giyurs are canceled, right? They weren't ever really good giyurim. Now, they claim there wasn't ever really a good kabbalat ol mitzvot. But the people who want to be more meikah say, no, at the moment he accept the conversion, he said, I want to do mitzvot. After that, he changed his mind. So what do you say? Harehu, what has the halach of yuim? Once you had a good conversion, doesn't matter what happens after, you're Yisrael l'chol davar. At this point, you're a Yisrael Mumar. You're basically like a Jew who doesn't keep mitzvah. Okay? You're not, we don't say, oh, that proves that your Giyur was never good in the first place, because look, now you don't even care about, you know, being a religious Jew. Okay? So in the end, they say, and therefore, kiddushav kiddushin. Right? What did we say? If a non-Jew marries a Jewish woman, it's not considered a good marriage. And that's why some people want to say, that's why their mom's marrying the kids. But here they say, no, and therefore, if he's married to a Jewish woman, their marriage is good marriage, their kids are born from a marriage, you know, a regular marriage, and they're considered a Jew l'chadra. This is a very important halakha. It's just a matter of how you interpret it, right? How you interpret that moment of giyur. Was the moment of giyur really a real Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot? Or was he never really intending to do Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot in the first place? And that's where this whole problem of Bitul Giyur started coming up, where the rabbi said these conversions were never good in the first place.
They're saying that the conversion is a mitzvah. This conversion is a mitzvah. By saying that
that you can't push it off because shihuya mitzvah lo mashina, and you're saying from that, right, that it's a mitzvah. That's interesting. Right. It's a good question. That's a good question. I have to look that up. Right. I didn't think about that, how it seems to imply that it's really a mitzvah. It's a good question. Think about that. Okay. See if I can get you back. But get back and answer with you on that.